Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast at 1510 a.m. NBC Sports Radio Boston, heard live every first Sunday at 7 p.m. You can also tune into my show on our station Dream Vision 7 radio every week, Wednesday through Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To learn more and for a full station schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am excited to have this hour to speak with you about my own journey and how I came to create what I refer to as my Heart Living teachings. In this hour of my first show, I'm going to share my own journey with you and some of my Heart Living principles in the hopes that you'll gain inspiration to live your life in a more balanced and heartfelt way. Okay, so let me start just with a little history. For more than 20 years, I've taught and coached thousands of people internationally on ways to bring greater balance and meaning into their lives. And over the years, I've found that it really didn't matter whether my audience consisted of corporate executives, homemakers, physicians, artists, therapists, whatever the occupation. What I did find is that people shared that their lives just seem overloaded with work and personal issues. And basically, what they told me is that they felt their lives were just full of too many responsibilities. Often they said they felt like they were just playing catch-up every day. And repeatedly, I heard them say that there was always more to do than there was some, you know, really possible to do. And, you know, in any given day or week, there was just more to do. So if anything, the idea of balance itself seemed like an unattainable concept for most people. And I really mean a concept rather than a lifestyle possibility. So what I felt like people were wanting as they came to my workshops and coaching sessions was some kind of direction, and I felt that people had a similar desire, too. They wanted not only a direction, but a kind of inspiration and understanding that would lead them to create a more meaningful life. Now, I've worked with people over the years, and I've given them this type of inspiration and understanding through what I've developed and call my Heart Living program. I assist people in this way every day. So in this first show, and I'm so excited about it, I'd like to focus on heart living. What is it? Where did these principles come from? What was my own journey that led me to them? You know, I honestly don't think that leaders, coaches, therapists, or even practitioners of any kind can take you farther than where they've gone themselves. And I do believe that they have to embrace what they teach to truly have the integrity needed to lead. So I want to share my own story as a way of telling you how I came to create Heart Living. Okay, now this is going to take us back a few years, and it was in 1997 that I experienced a very pivotal passage in my life. This was an absolutely incredibly busy time for me. I was working at a university as a faculty administrator, and my life was honestly just overloaded with stress and major work activities. And at any given time, I was in charge of 100 university programs. I had constant responsibilities that I needed to handle. And for some of the duties, I just had no support staff at all. Every day felt overwhelming to me, and the feeling of overwhelm honestly began to become the norm. And I'm sure some of you can relate to that. I just remember one morning in particular, I pulled into the parking lot at the university, and I realized that I was exhausted before I had even gone into work. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way. You wake up tired, you're running an energy deficit, and you haven't even begun your day. You know that level of tiredness or exhaustion, it really is truly cumulative, and it usually doesn't happen overnight. And I had been working in that position for 9 years at that time. At any rate, I remember thinking to myself, you know, there's just got to be more to life than this. Surely we're not intended to work to exhaustion every day, get up the next day, do it again and again, without really experiencing or just expressing some kind of deeper meaning in it all. And at least let this exhaustion have a meaningful purpose if I have to do this every day. Anyway, I got out of the car that day. I went into work, and I noticed that my sister had sent me an email. And she told me that she was going to Bosnia, to a city called Medjugorje, on a pilgrimage. She was going with a group of people, and they were going to pray for world peace. Well, I remember thinking, wow, what a dream. And I wrote her back that I was just so proud of her, and I told her that I'd help her in any way I could. Well, interestingly, when she got my email, she picked up the phone instead, and she said, you know, I appreciate your support, but I'm wondering, would you like to go with me? Okay, now, in that second, after hearing her request, and I will forever be grateful to what I call my spiritual guidance, I had the courage to make a completely irrational choice, because what I said to her is, yes, I'll go with you. What was I doing? You know, was I crazy? At any rate, you've probably experienced this type of thing in your life before, I'm sure, when you feel compelled to do or say something, and your rational mind honestly can't even process what you're saying. It's kind of like someone else is speaking through your mouth. And actually, when that happens, what I have found since then, for me anyway, is that I'm right on target with my heart. So by saying yes, I didn't know, for example, how I was going to take time off from work. I didn't know who would replace me, you know, who was going to cover for me. Those were just a few things that flooded my mind, and somehow I knew, though, that it could be worked out. And even though I didn't have any idea how it would be at that time, I just honestly had to trust. And most of all, in my heart, I knew that this trip, this pilgrimage, was going to allow me to do some much-needed soul-searching of my own. Honestly, I had so many questions, and I think we all have them. I had thought for a long time, you know, what am I doing with my life? Why are we all here? What contribution could I be making? Am I making the right one in the work I'm doing now? And just on, I would ask myself those kinds of questions. But to quickly fast forward, I went to Medjugorje, and along with my sister, stayed with the Croatian family for 10 days. And honestly, it was an amazing time of prayer, of silence, of eating together, walking, just really being present with life. And the countryside was absolutely beautiful. Over 5,000 people had gathered in that city with the same intention, and that was to pray for world peace. The energy, the care, the love, so many different languages and cultures. I mean, the only way I can tell you to describe it was just that it was amazing. And I believe that the earth has energy centers, or we call them chakras in the body. But I think the earth has energy centers or chakras too. And to me, Medjugorje was really a heart chakra or a heart center of the earth at that time. And on that trip, there was one evening that I will never forget. And I've told this story many times in my classes. But during a prayer session with thousands of people, I had a vision that truly changed my life. We were all gathered. There were over 3,000 of us holding hands in prayer. We were being led by a person in prayer. And I remember my sister was on one side. We were holding hands, and there was an old Croatian woman on my other side. And suddenly, while we were praying, I saw a vision in my consciousness. And in this vision really was of an old woman, kind of what I would call a crone, and she was wearing a dark cloak. Her shoulders were bent. I couldn't see her face or anything. But from the opening in the front of her cloak, I could see that she had a multi-layered heart. And from her heart, there were people leaping. Now, there were people of all nationalities and emotions. All these people were leaping from this old woman's heart. And this was an incredibly powerful image that I just will never forget. And in fact, this vision challenged my world, and it ultimately changed my life. In fact, my life changed so dramatically after that experience that I couldn't go back to where I had been. And I don't know if you've ever had those kind of awarenesses or aha moments. You don't really know what to do with them. You just know that something in you has shifted incredibly. I left Medjugorje a completely different person. You know, I believe that we have to take occasional pilgrimages. We have to leave our current circumstances. And if we don't leave our current circumstances, we may never have the very experience to know, or the very witness viewpoint to know even if what we're doing is what we should be doing. We might need to go into our own backyard, but wherever we go, we just gain a different perspective about life. My trip to Medjugorje had changed me in a truly profound way. At any rate, after that trip, and I felt very blessed about taking that trip, I returned to the United States, and I was instantly, and you can imagine, back in the craziness of my life. You know, the inbox that had piled high, the excessive emails, the programs that still needed to be taken care of instantly, all of that was still happening, but inside I was different. Couldn't tell you exactly at that time what was going on, but I just knew I was different in some way. And I didn't know what I was going to do, and I didn't know how, but I knew I could not continue my life in the same way that I had left it before going to Medjugorje. And I felt like my world was on board with me, helping me make these changes that I knew would happen in my life. I really felt I was trusting there was going to be change, and I was going to know how to do it. Not from a rational standpoint, at least at that moment, though. Now, as all these wonderful life promptings do happen, you know, those directional arrows, as I like to call them, I received an email from a colleague when I got back, and he had sent me a quote from Thoreau. And this quote seemed to really epitomize my circumstances. And I want to share that quote with you because I've never forgotten it, and it really got me thinking deeply. And the quote from Thoreau was, "The cost of a thing is the amount of life you have to exchange for it, either now or in the long run." And again, I'll say it, the cost of a thing is the amount of life you have to exchange for it, either now or in the long run. Oh, this rang so true for me. You know, suddenly I realized I was exchanging my life for something every day. And each day back then was like the day before it. The alarm would go off, I would get up, I'd dress for work, I'd go to work, I'd come home. You know the drill. And my life felt flat. I was living a life that many of my clients since then have mentioned living, with ideas like, if only I could find the right job, the right partner, the right house, it's all going to get better. It's kind of the idea of you're going to arrive at some point. Now, many of us live life like that, as though it's a treasure hunt. You know, we think if we look in the right place, we're going to find the golden egg and we're going to live happily ever after. But back then, the more I reflected on my vision, I came to realize that the old woman, for me at least, represented the Divine Mother, and that those people who were leaping from her heart, they're us, the people of the world. And, you know, we're called upon to nurture and care for both ourselves and each other, as well as to care for our universe. So despite how different we are, we all come from the same divine source. We all come from the same heart. And given all of this, my thoughts were, so how can we trust and live from our own basic goodness? You know, how can we honor our own sacredness and create a life that's worth living? And how can we teach other people to do the same? Those really were the questions I posed for myself. And I meditated every day on the meaning of the heart and how we can allow our heart to guide us. And ideas upon ideas came to me about life. Now, I can't tell you this wasn't a scary time, because it was. I didn't feel in sync with my work any longer. I was showing up. I was doing a great job. I was doing my very best. But I just was no longer really, my heart wasn't in it. I guess that's the bottom line. My heart wasn't in it. And I put into place, not openly to the university, but at least to myself at that time, a goal to leave my university job in 1 year. Now, I'm telling you, this was really scary for me. And I meditated every day. And, you know, for me, I just did a really simple prayer, like, help, you know. I don't know what I'm doing, where I'm going, but I'm ready to do something. And I want to do something greater. And I want to make a greater contribution. And then I just sit silently and try to listen. And from that vision of the old woman's heart and those meditations, I came to coin the term heart living. Now, to me, heart living meant the act of living deeply and fully from your own heart. And I don't mean from your own emotion. I truly mean from your own heart intelligence. And it doesn't mean you don't use your mind. You know, instead, it's a connection, really, of your mind and your heart. And I created my own logo, the heart that you'll find on my website at heartliving.com. And this was to match as closely as I could the image that I saw in my vision of the old woman's heart in Medjugorje. And I began to integrate this new heart-living philosophy into my own life and eventually into my own teaching. I knew that a higher awareness of love and life order does come from listening to and leading from your own heart. And I also learned that our heart has its own intelligence and that really all we need to do is listen to it. You know, unfortunately, what often happens is we're so busy trying to do what we need to do to have what we need to have that we somehow, in the mix of all that, just forget to be. And to me, to be is to hold a higher consciousness so that it impacts what it is I'm doing. I'm not just climbing the wrong mountain, so to speak. And I also learned that, you know, we have to listen to our heart. Well, listen to it as I believe I did on that day I chose to go to Bosnia. honestly, we have to pay attention to what we're saying yes and no to in our lives. Because if your heart's not in what you're doing, you're not either. And I've certainly found that out. Now, I also knew that I couldn't continue my own life without applying this wisdom, both in my personal life and in my work. And it was during those early days after the vision that at one point I remember I fast-forwarded myself to my deathbed, and I thought, on that day, what will I wish had been my life? And by the way, I ask my clients to do that all the time. You know, look at yourself at the end of your life. What will you wish had been your life? What that does, if nothing else, is help you get your priorities in order. But at any rate, when I asked myself that day, my heart told me that while the job I was doing was an honorable one, it didn't reflect my greatest contribution. And while I may not have come into the world to be Moses or Gandhi or some great figure, I did come in to be the best version of me. And so I believe we all do. We truly all come in to be the best version of ourselves. So within a year of my pilgrimage through surrender and meditation based on my heart vision, I took a leap of faith. I left my job. I opened my business, Heart Living. And I've got to tell you, I was so scared. I remember taking a 3-year lease on a business office. And I think at the time I might have had 10 clients. Now, you know, your thought might be, was this woman crazy? But honestly, I trusted my heart. I knew that I was going to do something that was going to help people. That was my intent. And I also knew that I was completely 100% on board with it. I was committed to it. And by the way, that was 15 years ago, and I have helped thousands of people. So, you know, you've heard the phrase, the only way out is through. And believe me, the only way out of anything is through it, not around your fears. And I had to embrace my fears. And perhaps what stands out in my mind the most was the day I was preparing to resign from my secure position at the university. A friend had said to me when I was nervous about my future, Cynthia, you've climbed the wrong mountain in this work you've been doing, and you know what you want to do now. You're ready. Just take a leap. Why are you hesitating? And I very matter-of-factly really replied, you know, because I want to make sure I land with my feet on the ground. Of course I wanted to be safe. Anyway, I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, why? What if you're supposed to fly? Aren't our friends just wonderful when we need them? Anyway, since then, over the years of working with thousands of people, I've listened to their stories with compassion, and I've come to an important conclusion. I believe it's not our world that's problematic as much as it is our point of view. And by helping people to see their lives in a new way, helping them to unlock their hearts and to appreciate new openings, new possibilities, I've witnessed people improve the quality of their lives dramatically. I honestly believe that the whole world is hanging on a balance of human perceptions. We create our life stories every living, breathing moment. You know, we decide what's available to us, not available to us, or what we believe is happening, not happening. And often we don't check out the validity of these perceptions at all. So a first Heart Living principle that I teach is based on the idea that life is a stage. And with this thought in mind, I also teach that each of us is on stage starring as the main character in our own drama called life. So, yes, the drama is yours. And while you're partnered with other cast members to share life's lessons, you really didn't come in just to try out for a part in someone else's play as your main act. You are the main character in your own drama. So you've got to show up, and you've got to take ownership, and you've got to just know how very important you are. And just as you create your own script for your own act on stage, which you do through your thoughts and your behaviors, you do play a significant role, though, in the dramas of others. You know, I'm not denying that. Because, honestly, each of us is serving as both teacher and student in each other's lives. And we decide how we think the world is, and we create a list of judgments about ourselves and others. And, of course, we acquire some of those judgments from the beliefs of our parents and caregivers while growing up, but also through our education or even just through our own nature. And these items on our list feel very real, even though, as I mentioned before, we don't really check out the validity of them. Recently, I put up a quote by Mark Twain on my Heart Living Facebook page in which Twain says, I've lived a long life and had many troubles, most of which never really happened. I absolutely love that. It's so true, you know. We're making it all up, and we create layers of assumptions and attachments. We engage, in some cases, unfortunately, in dramas daily, full of issues and fears and vulnerabilities. And worse yet, we project our fears onto other people, and in turn, we accept their projections. Yet, this is where another heart living principle comes in. At our deepest level, as that main character on stage, each of us is on a quest for wholeness. Now, deep down, we desire to do well. We desire to be loved. And I do think we all care. And, you know, no matter who we are as individuals, each of us came into this world with a given set of circumstances. We were parented well or not parented well. And no matter the family circumstances, we all moved into adulthood, each of us just the same. And so while there are different opportunities, different cultures, different stories, different lessons, different advantages, disadvantages, you know, all those people leaping from the old woman's heart, each of us, no matter our differences, is similar in a certain way. Because I believe at our core we want to feel complete. We want to recognize our own worth. And deep down we want to know that we matter. And the truth is we do. And yet we respond by cutting off essential parts of ourselves every day. We may deny our emotions because we're afraid our partner's going to leave us. We may do work that doesn't inspire us because it keeps us feeling secure. And unfortunately, we become limited by our personal biases and what I really think in some cases are just unexamined assumptions that we make. So how do we free ourselves of this? I mean, that's really an important question. And it's through heart living that I believe we can do this. And I'm going to tell you about that after our break. We're getting ready to take time for a break. Again, I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living Live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. And when we come back, we're going to explore how is it that we can go backstage, how can we challenge the thought that our dramas are pre-recorded, have the courage to rewrite those scripts, really to raise our consciousness. And for me, what I call, how can we have the courage just to wake up? Because I believe that most of us just need to wake up. You know, there's a quote out there, and I can't really remember who says it, but the idea is that you can let your challenges take you into deeper sleep, or you can allow those challenges to wake you up. And it's through heart living that I feel you can allow them to wake you up. Thank you for joining me. I'll look forward to speaking with you after the break.
Please join us on Skydance Astrology, the key to your soul's purpose, with esoteric astrologer Charlene Rose Johnson, the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. Charlene will discuss how this ancient key of the wisdom traditions works and will conduct sample interpretations of this language of the soul. Your spiritual purpose need not be a mystery. For information about obtaining oral readings via phone or Skype or full written reports, please go to the SkydanceAstrology.com webpage. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Do you need to relax, have a few laughs, and hear some good news for a change? Join us on Eye of the Storm, your calm place in a crazy world, every third Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern with Charlene Sherman. Eye of the Storm is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join CPA, personal financial specialist Jane Honick, and psychologist Amy Wood on Your Money and Your Life on the fourth Saturday of every month at 3 p.m. and create a new life with money, because it's not about the numbers, it's about your state of mind. Jane and Amy will help you master the beliefs that drive not only your financial life, but all the areas of your life that matter. With new awareness and a positive attitude, you'll be on your way to creating a life of greater prosperity. This show is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Saturday at 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
A Dream Vision 7 Radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Before the break, we talked about how do we free ourselves of this life that we wish not to be living. And I had mentioned that through Heart Living, I believe that our freedom lies in going backstage. So we have to go backstage. We have to challenge the thought that our dramas are pre-recorded. We've got to have the courage to rewrite our scripts and to raise our consciousness. And I mentioned I think we have to have the courage just to wake up. But most of all, we've got to have the courage to bring new and better experiences into our lives. For example, we have to do some self-examination. And some of that I've asked clients before to think about, you know, what do you hold to be true about yourself and your life? In coaching, I ask them to explore concepts like, what did you learn about concepts in your life, in your childhood, such as money, success, power, control, relationships, safety, and really most importantly, love. How do your perceptions affect your daily living? Because honestly, they do. And, you know, what if while growing up you learned some kind of adaptive behavior like people-pleasing? You didn't want anyone to leave you, so you said yes when you really wanted to say no. And then today as an adult, you really have created a kind of adaptive mask in that way in your relationship with others. And, you know, you'll please, for example, when you really don't want to be pleasing. I mean, these are just concepts that we have to look at. We have to explore, understand, and challenge. And at critical points during your life play, not unlike the passage, place, or pilgrimage that I described in my own journey earlier, I think we have to look down on the scene from the balcony. You know, if we think about the stage again, and we've got to gain a higher view, or at least what I like to call in coaching, you have to get a witness perspective. Now, if you're open to holding a larger understanding and you're willing to evaluate the mask that you're wearing in a particular scene, because we do wear masks, you can assess where you are and who you have become. And it's by doing this that you can begin to discover that you're not only the main character in your drama, but, hey, guess what? You're also the playwright. In other words, it's you who is creating that story. And the good news is that you can create daily scenes on stage that reflect the meaningful life that you wish to live. So here's another Heart Living principle. Each of us is born a child of pure potential and possibility. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, basically that you can influence the outcome of this play you're starring in called Your Life. And you'll always be partnered with the cast members you need to be with for each of you to learn your life's lessons. So if you came into the world to learn forgiveness, for example, as your first act, well, guess what? You're surely going to have somebody to forgive. And if you came in to learn how not to give away your power, well, you surely will have someone who'll try to take it. Doesn't that make sense? And if you came in to learn how to be more independent, even though you might not know you came in to do that. But if you did, then you may find yourself in a situation where you're all alone so that you can learn how to depend upon yourself. So you see, it's all the life challenges that are there for each of us to overcome, to learn, to grow. And, you know, I think sometimes we allow these challenges to be stumbling blocks, whereas we could create them as stepping stones. And here's the good news. Your script involves a lifetime of days, too. You know, sometimes people will come in feeling that they've screwed up their lives and they have no way to do what's called course correct. Or they just say to me, you know, it's just too late. I've done this all my life. And what I tell them is that every day is but a sacred dot on the map of your life. And each new scene is affording you a new opportunity. Every day that you wake up and you get back on stage, and this is what we do every day, we get back on stage, you have a new chance to respond differently this time, to create a new outcome. And no matter what's been going on in your life, I teach people to use three magic words. And all my clients know these magic words, and they are up until now. Because, you know, now it can be different. Truly, people come to me and they say, I've never been able to do thus and so, and I say, up until now. And then I get them to realize that they can no longer say that to me because I'm going to say up until now, and then they have to realize that they've got a different choice at this moment if they want it. So it's really important to remember that all these cast members, whether they're family, friends, even seeming enemies, they're just souls like you, and they're seeking to learn and to heal just like you. And one of the most important ways that we can do this is by delving deeper into our own heart's consciousness. Again, what I call heart living. And when we go deeply into our hearts, we can begin to use our heart as a compass. And we can begin to realize that we came in to understand what it means to be human, to learn love, kindness, and compassion. You know, sometimes I just say to people, well, how do you feel? Does that particular choice make your heart feel heavy or light? And you really can use it not only as a compass, but in a way as a barometer. Now, I do a lot of different healing modalities in my profession, and I teach Reiki, which is a form of hands-on healing. It originated in Japan. And I also teach energy medicine and Reiki, not only in the United States, but also in Japan as well. And one thing that I love is an understanding that I've gained in teaching and working in Japan. And that is that each of us came in to learn love and to better understand ourselves as humans, to better understand the human condition. You know, the honor, the kindness, the generosity that I have found on my travels in Japan is absolutely amazing. I was in Tokyo this summer on my last visit, and it's a really busy, busy hub that has so many people. If you look at the pictures, it looks just like the pictures. And I saw outside an electronics store about 30 sample cell phones. Now, these were real phones, not wired down. And I said to my interpreter, wow, aren't they afraid somebody's going to steal one of these phones? Of course, I'm the typical American looking at it that way. But anyway, she replied, Cynthia, no one's going to take anything. Because to take something that doesn't belong to you would be to dishonor yourself and your family. Can you imagine if we could only apply that philosophy, if all of us in this world could? And we all need that level of honor and integrity. And as a world, we're moving into a greater and greater need for heart-centered consciousness. Many people find that their life plays reflect an exhausting effort just to maintain safety and security. And they try to make the right choices so that they can be in control of the outcome of their days, only to find that control is an illusion. We're never really in control of anything. And no matter how hard they work at it, how many measures they put in place, how many times they second-guess what could happen, and so on, they really can't gain control of what's happening in their world. You know, I know people who work in part to have health insurance. I mean, they truly are working right now just to have health insurance. And then they find that their work itself affects the very quality of their health. I remember a client once telling me that she was in a job that she absolutely hated, and she worked 60 hours a week. Now, she made great money, but as she pointed out to me, but she did hate the job. And when I questioned why she didn't leave the job, her response was that she could retire in 5 years, and she had to maintain the quality of her life. To which I thought, what quality? You know, I don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't sound like you've got much quality. Anyway, I knew what she meant. She meant that she had to have security in the right house, the right car, and so on. But honestly, at what expense? Because her health had already begun deteriorating, which is actually why she had come to see me. Now, I have to share another story, and I need to tell you that I have a lot of stories related to heart living, and my clients can certainly vouch for that. This story sounds a little strange, I'm sure, but I call it my hamster on the wheel story because it really fits here. When my children were young, they had a little pet hamster that they loved. They fed it every day, and there was a little wheel in the cage for the hamster to exercise on. Now, on a specific weekend, the kids were at their grandparents' house, and I woke up that Saturday morning, and lo and behold, our poor little hamster, who was only 2 weeks old, had died. So I called the pet shop. I told them what had happened. You know, I was going to definitely have to go get a hamster that looked just like that hamster because I didn't want my children to feel like I thought they would feel. But anyway, the pet shop's owner said to me reassuringly, I am so sorry, but you know that happens. Sometimes the hamster just forgets to get off the wheel, keeps going without stopping, and has a heart attack. So just bring it in, and we will give you another one. Now, you could not have given me a better analogy for my life at that time because I was a proverbial hamster on the wheel. I was a single parent. I was raising 2 kids under the age of 6, working full-time, writing a book. I was just struggling to stay on the wheel. And we can do this. We get on the wheel of life, move rapidly, forget to get off and rest, or we just decide what's important or what's not. You know, we don't decide really what is truly important, and then we burn ourselves out. So how do we course correct? How do we gain a greater understanding? How do we change our lives into something worth living? You know, we need to take a lesson from our GPS system. It doesn't blame us for taking a wrong turn. At least mine doesn't. But anyway, it simply says recalculate. And so sometimes in life, we just have to stop and we have to recalculate, get back on track. And I believe that by understanding how this journey called life works, you can become a more empowered actor in your own drama and other people's dramas too, and you can create a more meaningful experience overall. You can begin to realize that everything you do and say is contributing to the life you are creating. And that truly is the mission of my Heart Living work. I have a personal mission statement myself, and my intention is I seek to raise my consciousness as I help raise the consciousness of others toward the greater good of all. And I actually coach people to create a mission statement for themselves. Because, you know, the bottom line is that life is a journey in consciousness. And for much of life, we don't realize that we are affecting that consciousness or that quality of life. If I were to take you into my own past, for example, I'd have to say that I spent the earliest part of my life into my 20s without much awareness that I was contributing to its creation. So I'll tell you more about that, but it's time now for a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living Live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM NBC Sports Radio Boston. We'll be back shortly. Thank you.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join us every second and fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
The Massachusetts Soldiers Legacy Fund, MSLF, was founded in 2004 with a simple goal: to provide educational assistance grants to the children of Massachusetts service members who were killed while deployed on operations enduring an Iraqi freedom. With its current resources, the MSLF guarantees a minimum of $40,000, $10,000 per annum, in educational funding to each child of a fallen service member whose home of record at the Department of Defense was Massachusetts. There's no selection process. If an individual is a child of a service member whose service is credited to Massachusetts and whom gave his or her life in Operation Enduring or Iraqi Freedom, that child qualifies for MSLF funds. We're proud to report that we're accomplishing our founding objective thanks to the support of individuals and organizations throughout the United States. To donate, go to mslfund.org.
Join Teresa's Health and Wellness every first Sunday at 8 p.m. to receive functional tips on how to create a healthier lifestyle through better nutrition. Get your questions answered now so you can start living a healthier, energetic life. Teresa's Health and Wellness is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bovee on the Love by Intuition show, Saturdays 2 to 3 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Saturday, 2 to 3 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome to In Spirit with Maria Halverson. I'm Maria Halverson, your host. In Spirit comes to you every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. to bring you stories that will inspire you to open your hearts and minds to the afterlife. In Spirit is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Greenlock is the place to go for horse therapy you should know. We use the horse, they do the trick, to help you talk and walk and skip. The horse's movement builds your muscle. It also makes you laugh and chuckle. To do our job, your help we need. To run the farm and buy our feed. To help us out, just double click on greenlock.org. Do it quick.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
Tune in every second Saturday at 3 p.m. for maximum success. The Coach Bruce Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Boston. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Now, I spoke before the break about my own past and that I really felt I didn't create my life, at least not in my 20s, with a lot of awareness that I was contributing to its creation. And, you know, I think that's what happens to a lot of us. I was just moving along with life. I was adapting to circumstances, getting through school, acquiring a job, trying on ways to acclimate to my world. And for the most part, I was a shy, kind of typical peacekeeper of sorts, and I felt the need to get along with people. I was pretty much an introvert. I definitely was not comfortable with conflict. So, what do you think I attracted to myself on stage? Well, you can start the drum roll. I had difficult scenes. I had cast members who often thrived on conflict. I mean, how else could I learn the human condition, as they say, my friends say in Japan? But I look back on this now, and I realize how natural this all was. How I had to have these challenging experiences in order to get out of my own comfort zone and to advance my soul. So whatever you're going through, wherever you are in the drama, please know that everything and everyone you encounter gives you an opportunity to grow, and you do for them too. You know, they help you work through a fear, heal an old wound, master a lesson, and all of this contributes to the depth of your ultimate life experience. And I realize now, in looking back, that everything I thought I wasn't, or at least wasn't comfortable with during certain points in my life, came to me in the form of people and experiences that I could embrace, actually had to learn to embrace, and through that I learned life's lessons. Most importantly, I had to take on some painful roles in order to learn the human condition and in order to advance my soul, and so we all do. You know, in all of this, we have to trust that everything is happening for a reason. That while we may not know the larger reason at the time, we have to relax and trust life's process. So here's another Heart Living principle. You have to trust the process of life itself. Now, this does not mean that you're not participating in your story or that your life is predestined in any way. It really means that your involvement doesn't have to include micromanaging your life or hyper-controlling your situation or circumstances. Part of this trusting the process or life dance, as it's sometimes called, really involves two activities, and I explain them to my clients when I'm coaching as directing and allowing. So whether your life lessons are about power, control, forgiveness, understanding, whatever it is, you're doing a life dance of directing and allowing. And at certain times, we all need to direct what's going on in our lives. So, you know, we have to take a risk, apply for a job, volunteer for a cause, maybe get out of our comfort zone. And at other times, we have to allow. Sit back, relax, patiently wait for what's coming. And if you like to be in control of your life, you may have a tendency to over-direct your life. Unfortunately, too much directing could cause you to miss natural opportunities that might have presented. And by the same token, if you don't direct or create your life with purpose, if you tend to hang back and take what comes your way as though you have no control, well, to me, your life may feel directionless or just unpredictable to you. So there really has to be a balance between these two actions of directing and allowing, and there has to be a balance within them. Times will occur when you need to direct more or allow more. And so you could ask yourself a few questions in this way. What I like to ask clients would be, you know, how much time do you spend trying to control things that you really have no control over? Are you motivated in improving your life? How much time do you spend in resisting? Because a lot of energy can go into resisting. And as far as allowing is concerned, do you trust the process of life itself? You know, Einstein has a wonderful quote, and it goes something like, if you think the world is a friendly or an unfriendly place, it changes everything. So I like to ask my clients, do you think the world's a friendly or an unfriendly place? And I'll ask you that. Do you think the world's a friendly or an unfriendly place? Do you expect good things to come to you? Or do you trust that you're going to be able to handle whatever does come? These are just some questions for thought. Now, as you begin to balance the acts of directing and allowing, hopefully you learn to relax, because relaxing is going to allow you to go with the flow. Now, this might come as a surprise, but I've learned this in energy medicine, that believe it or not, flow is your natural state. You know, we actually have to work at it to create chaos. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? But how do we create chaos? And we do create it. Well, by times when we worry too much or try to control too much or limit our minds to only those ideas that we're comfortable with, or we engage in fearful reactionary patterns of behavior. So, again, another heart living principle, we create our life stories every living moment through our thoughts and our perceptions. And one way I like to teach this is to say that if you think of a radio signal, not unlike the one you're listening to now, and you tune into that signal as you've done, you'll pick up that particular station as you're now picking up Dream Vision 7. In the same way, our thoughts send out signals. So you can understand it this way. The world is vibrational. Our thought forms are wavelengths that attract experiences to us. So if I hold a thought like I'm afraid, I'm going to send out vibrations with that energy into the world. And the key is that the thought form is going to want to validate itself, or you could say know that it's true. So in turn, it's going to draw experiences to me to test whether or not I am afraid. And I'm a clinical hypnotherapist and learned in that training that your most powerful internal statements are called I am statements. So it's important to be aware of the thoughts that we have and to monitor those thoughts, to really monitor your self-talk, because each of us has an inner voice. And you know the monologue we listen to while we're alone or we're driving and so on. Sometimes this inner voice is rather harsh, or it could carry the words of someone in our past who was hard on us. You know, sadly enough, people have told me that they were told as a child, you're never going to amount to anything, or why do you think you can do that? You know, who are you to think you can do that? Anyway, this inner critic needs to be recognized as an unwelcome guest and really needs to be silenced, because deep down as you gain awareness, and that's what you're doing, you're realizing that those statements really bear no truth. Honestly, we need to monitor our inner thoughts, because if we're not our own advocate, who is going to be? So just pay attention to your thoughts. Your thoughts and beliefs are influencing your behaviors and in turn creating your life. Henry Ford has a wonderful quote. He said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're going to be right. And isn't that the truth? You know, one of the privileges that I felt so grateful for in my own life journey is being able to learn, to be exposed to new ideas, to grow, to become more aware. And I've always been a seeker, what I like to call myself, an eternal student, because our life journey is a process of awareness. It is a process of learning. And we have to trust that if we progress through the stages of this process and we hold mindfulness about what's occurring, we maintain a positive intention, we go with the flow, that hopefully the play that we're acting out called our life will have greater meaning for us. I want to share with you, this is something I do in all classes, Heart Living classes, I want to share with you toward the end of our show tonight a meditation that I developed 15 years ago. And I know those who've been in my Heart Living programs who might be listening are probably smiling right now because they've worked with this for years. And this meditation really helps you to realize that you can make a connection with the greater universe. So let me give you just a few steps. First, in this meditation, you just sit quietly, and you imagine that you're energy and that the universe is vibrating energy also. Now, we know that this is scientifically true. So when we think this way, we realize that we are one and the same with the universe. And secondly, you know that you are connected in that way to everything and that everything's available to you. So again, we really realize in these first two steps that we're connected. In the third step, I call it requesting. You envision that you can make a request of the universe or a higher power for whatever it is that you need. And I like to say in my classes, and I'll say to you, take a moment to go into your heart, because it's your heart that's the connector. So take a moment to go into your heart and to make that silent request. You know, what do you need for your greater good? What do you need for your healing? So you connect, you line up, you attune, and then you make that greater request. Now, you next envision receiving what you've requested. What would that look like? How would you feel? So I call that just feeling and seeing, receiving it. And then you release any fears or worries, and you feel your heart full of gratitude. You know, gratitude really is the ticket for manifesting a better life. And gratitude will tell you that what you have is enough. So as I wind down and come to a close with this first Heart Living show, I want to thank you for sharing your heart with me in this hour. I hope that you'll visit my website, heartliving.com, and my Facebook page, Heart Living. I'd love to hear from you, find out what topics and questions you'd like me to cover in our next show. And also, there will be call-in question-answer sessions in our future shows. So I hope that you'll promise yourself that you will lead from your heart with passion and purpose, and that you'll trust the process, that you'll balance directing and allowing, that you'll get in the flow, that you'll become aware, and that you'll also practice willingness, because, you know, your knowledge is not complete unless you're willing to act on what you know. So be willing, take new action, and just make your play, your drama, a life worth living. I'm Cynthia Bischoff of Heart Living. Thank you so much for allowing me this evening to share my heart with you.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Join us the first Sunday evening of every month at 7 p.m. to explore ways to live a more inspired and passionate life. Gain clarity, balance, and purpose as Cynthia guides you on an enlightening journey of personal transformation. For more information, find Cynthia at her website, heartliving.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/heartliving.
Do you need to relax, have a few laughs, and hear some good news for a change? Join us on Eye of the Storm, your calm place in a crazy world, every third Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern with Charlene Sherman. Eye of the Storm is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join Teresa's Health and Wellness every first Sunday at 8 p.m. to receive functional tips on how to create a healthier lifestyle through better nutrition. Get your questions answered now so you can start living a healthier, energetic life. Teresa's Health and Wellness is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.